The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born anew.' The wind blows where it wills, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know from whence it comes or whither it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can this be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand this? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of the Blessed Trinity, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So I just want to put it out there that if you came on this Trinity Sunday to get an explanation and a full, clear understanding of the Trinity, I just want to let you know that I have no notes in front of me, so I may disappoint you. This is one of those Sundays in the church calendar. There's a feast day where we celebrate a particular, you could say, perspective on God that has evolved over centuries and continues to evolve from the first to engage theologically this doctrine about this one God expressed in these, is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You can imagine controversy. And there was a ton of it. And many of the arguments were primarily philosophical about God's being. And it was an attempt to really create the slice of what Christianity, the essence of Christianity, and the worship of God within the Christian community looks like within this sort of broader context of tons of gods and religious perspectives on the nature of being, capital B, and whether being is one, and whether being could be divided, and on and on and on. Sometimes in the middle of all these abstract arguments, it's easy to forget that this is what it looks like for Christianity to engage its culture. It is not removed from history. It is not removed from the great debates of society or of religion or of being. No, it engages and seeks to set forth the path that leads back to the heart of God. It leads us back to that place where we discover the God who has come, as Paul reminds us throughout his letters, to dwell among us, this sacred Trinity in our midst. So, yeah. It's been called throughout the history of the church as the Mysterium Tremendum, or you could say the deep, profound, tremendous mystery. And I could go on and on. I could talk about Augustine and how he looked at the analogy of being as a way to explain. I could go on and on and on. And if you want to have a conversation, I'm more than happy to meet with you after worship. No, we have vestry after worship, so we can find a time to talk about these particular theological points. But what I can appreciate about our tradition is precisely that engagement with the world and what is called apologia. And that is a way to apologize for our belief, but to make a case for what we believe. That our way of life is a way of life, a particular worldview, a way to live into this life, a way to hope in this life, a way to pray and to worship. I can appreciate that. So yes, while I believe that it is a mysterium tremendum, I venture to make this controversial claim that though a mystery, this is not mysterious stuff. Why? Because Jesus came. And Jesus dwelt among us. And that sacred community of Father, Son, Holy Spirit broke all barrier to make its way to us. So that in Jesus Christ we're invited not simply to gaze and to marvel, yes, to reverence like Isaiah before the throne room of God. I don't know if you caught that, but the hem, just the hem of God's garment filled the temple. Just the hem. Try to wrap your mind around that. But in that majestic singing and sonorous space of angels and archangels and seraphs singing, there you find Isaiah before the presence of God, not booted out, not asked to move, not asked to leave, not shown the door, but what Isaiah who says, "Woe is me," because I think that is the proper posture, I think, is humility before God, humility before the sacred, humility before the mysterium tremendum. Woe is me, says Isaiah. It's kind of like what we do whenever we say the prayer for purification. That is part of our liturgy. It's our way of understanding and standing before the greatness, the hem of God's robe, and recognize that our hearts are open. No secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Because when we enter into praise, we enter into sacred space. We enter into the sacred community of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and we're invited like Isaiah to come before God, to recognize and open our hearts, and then to discover that God cleanses us, invites us closer. And then the question comes from the throne of God, whom shall we send? Send the seraphs, that's what I would have said. They got six wings, they can go out and sing, they can go out and testify. Send out this glorious choir of angels and archangels and all of the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Send them. But God says, who are we going to send? And Isaiah, like us, human, broken, redeemed, cleansed, send me. Again, it's a mystery. But it's not mysterious, it's personal. It's the God who comes to us in Jesus Christ to remind us that God's love knows no barriers and that in Jesus we have the teaching that leads us back to the heart of God and also the presence of the neighbor. That in Jesus, and we've been talking about this for so long, Jesus says, I will send my Spirit. And my Spirit will teach you everything you need to know. The Trinity is about community. It's about being invited into the life of God in a way where we discover not only the sacred space of worship, but it's also a place where we discover that our lives are the concern of God. And that's what Paul wants us to grasp with this idea of the spirit of adoption, so that we now cry out, Abba, Father. We're no longer strangers. We are co-heirs with Jesus. So when we reflect on this Trinity Sunday, on the Trinity, it is, again, laudable that our tradition engaged the conversation, went and made its apologia before the belief systems of the world, and we continue to do that. But we continue to do that in the way that we live. For we are letters of God into the world, making the case that in Jesus Christ, we no longer exist as strangers, but as family. And that's what Nicodemus hears from Jesus. You have to be born from above. And Nicodemus is basically saying, I don't think you can teach an old dog a new trick. This is hard, Jesus. This is hard for me to wrap my mind around this. And then Jesus points to the sacred community of a God who is inviting, of Jesus who stands before him, and of the Spirit that will give him the grace and understanding to live this faith out. Trinity Sunday, again, is about reflecting on what it means to be invited to commune, to be part of the life of God. I don't know if you've seen it. It's this one of Marianne, Ronan, and I share this love of Rublev's icon of the Trinity. I don't know if you've seen it. It's the Trinity sitting at a table, and they're looking like a typical iconography. It seeks for us to engage. And there's this space at the table where Father, Son, Holy Spirit are communing. And there's this space. And that space is an invitation for us to imagine God saying, come on in. There is room for you at the table. Bring your burdens. Bring your fears. Bring what vexes you today, your questions, bring it all. Like Isaiah, come on in. Come on in and sit at the table and discover that in that table, in that community, you will find the love that binds those who exist as a unity but are different. A pattern for what it means to be the people of God here and now, as a people that are unified but who are different. That there you discover the meal that strengthens you for the journey ahead. There you discover the presence that never leaves nor forsakes. Many of you know this. Maybe perhaps I've shared it at one point. But my mom around, I think it was 7 or 8, lost both her parents. And it was her sister, and 2 brothers. And my mom is from Honduras, Central America. And so their small village of Ojos de Agua, a bit of a distance from the capital city of Tegucigalpa. And so when that happened to my mom and her siblings, they were sent out to the family. Like, you know, typically happens in some communities, to uncles and cousins and aunts. And so they were split and sent off to be with family. My mom went with an uncle who, from the moment the sun came up, my mom was laboring for that family. It was some form of indentured sort of servitude, because you're a mouth we're feeding. You're family, but you're a burden. And so my mom, entrepreneurial and enterprising as she is, decided this was not her life. So she decided to run away. But there was this massive bridge that crossed Ojos de Agua, which is a river. And there was a bridge, and my mom was afraid of crossing the bridge. And luckily, she found, not didn't find, but knew about one of her cousins who was friendly and kind to her. And he said, put on this blindfold and I'll walk you across. And that's what they did. Left her on the other side of the bridge, said goodbye. And my mom just walked toward the city of Tegucigalpa, a little girl. Ended up at the Roman Catholic convent in Tegucigalpa, where the sisters opened up their community and let her in. And one of the more touching moments, my mom described how it was an adjustment to get into this community, because the sisters would sit for dinner and they would leave a chair there for her. And she would look into the door, afraid still, not knowing what to do or how to come in, just finding her way into this small community. But the chair was there, and little by little, she found herself at the table of laughter, of prayer, of hope, a community that worshiped God and served the poorest people in Tegucigalpa, the capital city. In the midst of that community, my mom discovered an invitation to come closer to hope, to come closer to love. And so she decided to become part of this order out of love, and was out serving the community along with the sisters, doing medical work, medical clinics. And then one day, a doctor and his wife came and invited her to consider life in the U.S., and that they would sponsor her. And so she took the next bold step in her life and left her order to come to America. Grew up in Cambridge, Mass. And well, here I am. There's something about being invited close, to be invited in, and to go beyond those barriers where we just feel completely unworthy and uninvited from those sacred spaces. But God, nevertheless, invites us to come sit. Come join the prayers. Come join the song. Come join the sacred community. And on this Trinity Sunday, I pray, as your pastor and priest, that whatever barrier keeps you from coming close, that God's Spirit move in your life, move you towards joy, moves you toward healing, moves you towards forgiveness, moves you toward that sacred community, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, where we discover the beauty of a love that nourishes us, sends us out into the world, a love that reminds us that this is precisely why God sent Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that all, you and I, could sit at the table and come home. Amen.